Jesus really threw a curveball at the Pharisees and the Herodians. But before I talk about the curveball, I want to talk a little about the news. And since I use the image of the curveball, you'd think I'm probably going to talk about the Giants and being for the third time in 5 years in World Series. But no, I'm going to talk about the Vatican. There's been a lot of news and a lot of controversy coming out of Vatican City this last week, if you've been following the news. There's this big meeting going on. It's called a synod. A synod is a very high-level meeting of bishops in the church. There's about 200 of them, along with about 25 lay people, because the focus is the family. And so there's a lot of couples over there who are speaking with the bishops, giving their responses to the issues that they are treating. And the secular media has interpreted the preliminary document that came out this week, which was basically a summary of all the discussions regarding family and hot-button issues. Secular media has presented it as a relaxation of church teaching on sexual ethics. And on the other side, some Catholics denounced the report as a betrayal of traditional morality. But this report is just a beginning of a much bigger process that's going to take a whole year. They pull together all the results of the discussions and all the arguments, and they're putting together a document for the whole church to look at during this coming year, so that next October there will be a final synod to really try to see what is the Holy Spirit telling not just the church but the world about all of these issues connected to family life. I read the preliminary report that caused so much controversy. You can download it. I thought it was a very beautiful document. It left out a lot of things that I think should be there. But there's no change in Catholic doctrine. But it has a different tone from many other church documents dealing with the divorced and remarried and those in non-traditional family relationships. The tone reflects the approach of Pope Francis, who said in a talk some time back, and I quote, "I see clearly that the thing the church needs most today is the ability to heal wounds and to warm the hearts of the faithful. It needs nearness, proximity. I see the church as a field hospital after battle. It is useless to ask a seriously injured person if he has high cholesterol and about the level of his blood sugars. You have to heal the wounds. Then we can talk about everything else. Heal the wounds. The most important thing is the first proclamation, Jesus Christ has saved you. And the ministers of the church must be ministers of mercy above all. In pastoral ministry, we must accompany people, and we must heal their wounds." Pope Francis is the successor of St. Peter, and he's trying to be faithful to the mission given by Jesus to Peter when he told him, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." The keys to the kingdom of heaven. The image of the keys is drawn from an incident that the prophet Isaiah relates, where a government official in Jerusalem named Eliakim was chosen to be steward of the king's palace in Jerusalem and was given the keys to the palace. So just as Eliakim was to be the steward of the household of the king, so Peter is to be the principal steward of the Lord's household, the church. By extension, all active, committed members of the church are supposed to participate in stewardship of the family of God. A steward is someone who works for the welfare of all the members of the household. All of us baptized Catholics are to help take care of the family of God and to reach those outside the family. We call that evangelization, trying to reach people who have never heard the message, the glorious news that Jesus Christ brings to this world and the person of Jesus Christ that we want to proclaim. When Jesus says in today's gospel, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's," he's saying, support the state if you want to enjoy the benefits of the state, but realize that everything, including the state, belongs to God. The Lord has appointed human beings to be good stewards of the world he created. If we really want to be happy, then everything in our lives must be seen within that context. We, you and I, are stewards of the Lord during our short time on this earth. And we need to offer up everything in our lives to the Lord. So today, when I take the bread and the wine and I hold it up during the offertory, we're supposed to put our own lives symbolically in that bowl with the bread. And just as we pray that Jesus will transform that bread into the body of Christ, he'll transform us more and more into Christ-like people. That's what being a Christian steward is about, putting ourselves, all of our gifts, everything we have, at the service of God, at the service of his people. We usually speak about three dimensions of stewardship: to offer the Lord our time, our talent, and our treasure. For the past few Sundays, we've been focused on time, on devoting time each day to connecting more deeply to God through prayer and meditation. Meditation means a loving conversation with the Lord. About 2,000 parishioners took the Little Burgundy book, or the missal that we also made available, and hopefully you've committed yourselves, all of you teenagers and all of you adults, to at least 6 minutes a day of meditation on the Word of God. It's such a powerful practice for gradually changing us more and more into Christ-like people. And to share that with your children, you know, some of the daily reading you're doing at around the dinner table or before going to bed, to share some of that, you adults, you teenagers, share with the younger ones in the family. The parish is offering other opportunities to try to help us use our time to connect more personally and intimately with the Lord and the church. Every Tuesday evening at 7 p.m., every Thursday morning at 9 a.m., Andrew Brown is leading the Catholicism series, featuring terrific videos of the great teacher, Father Robert Barron. Today, we are distributing, as we do once a year, stewardship commitment forms to help everybody in the parish to discern and decide how we're going to devote time and talent and treasure to the Lord this coming year. There should be enough for all the adults and teens in the parish. If you could pass those down, if they're at the end of the pews, pass them to people in your pews so that every teen and adult has a copy. And if you don't have enough copies in your pew, if you could raise your hands and somebody from another pew could maybe pass one up or back. You have them over there? Everybody got forms? This commitment form is in preparation for next Sunday when we're going to have a ministry mingle after all the mass is over in the PAC, where there will be displays and people representing all the different ministries and groups of the parish for you to check out what you might be interested in or feel called to participate in. And on this sheet, you see there are many opportunities to serve in many ministries, and they're grouped under each of the five parish commissions: worship, formation, community life, administration, and outreach. So I invite each adult and teen to take a stewardship commitment form with you, or you can fill it out at Mass and put it in the collection, but you might want to take it with you, take it home, and pray over it. Read through it. See all these different options for service, for using your talent, your gifts to serve others, both in the parish or beyond the parish, like the St. Vincent de Paul Outreach, who serves so many poor people in our area, most of whom are not Catholic, most of whom, you know, don't belong to our parish. So think about and pray about how you can offer your gifts, your talents, to doing the Lord's work. And you can deposit the form either in the collection this Sunday or next Sunday, or take it over to the Ministry Mingle in the PAC, and you can turn it in at that time. I also invite you to share your treasure with the parish, with the poor, and with other charities. When I was in elementary school in Alameda, which is right next to Oakland, the Bishop of Oakland and his advisors decided they wanted to change the whole financial structure of supporting the church. And he did something which seemed kind of radical at the time. He said, I would invite every Catholic in the Diocese of Oakland to give a proportional amount of your income. Poor people give a proportion, wealthy people give a proportion, so that everybody is in a common support of the work of the church in terms of its educational, social, and spiritual activities. So we were all asked to give 5%. Every family, every single person was invited to give 5% to the parish, 5% to charities or to other causes. And I was only like 10 or 11 at that time. And I remember what a difference it made. My parents, who did not have a lot of money, but they decided they were going to take this gamble on God. That's the way, you know, some people kind of looked at it. I'm going to gamble on God. And they started giving 5% of their income. And most of the other parishioners did. And very quickly, we saw a difference in the parish. We no longer had all these excessive numbers of fundraisers and second collections. Everything was paid for from this one common fund that everybody contributed to proportionally, hopefully 5%, or working up toward 5%. And as you know from last year, St. Lucy's is moving in the same direction. We stopped all the special collections for parish needs, except for the scholarship for school and catechetics. But we no longer have the buildings and grounds collection. We're not doing a capital campaigns for, you know, more capital work here. No, we want everybody to participate in one simple way that is fair and just, and everyone gives equal sacrifice. Everybody sacrifices. So I invite you to seriously consider giving 5% of your income to St. Lucy's, and then the other 5% to other charities and poor people and causes that you want to support. And when we tithe, I don't think that person wants to tithe. I think they're rather upset at what I just said. Well, anyway. This tithing practice, which I believe in and practice myself, is a way of saying everything I have is from the Lord. And everything I have is to do His work. Everything is to do His work. Now, 90% of my money should go to my particular responsibilities. I'm a father of a family, mother of a family. I devote 90% of my money to my family, to my needs, the household. But the first 10% goes to work outside my family, to do the Lord's work beyond my own personal environment. And people who practice tithing with faith find that they have enough money. They have enough money to do what needs to be done. There's many people here in this congregation right now who have begun to tithe. And a number of them have said their financial situation changed when they started tithing because they stopped worrying about money for some reason. And they found that it just seemed that they had enough to do what needed to be done. And we shouldn't be surprised because Jesus promised, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Kingdom of God means God's reign over our lives, God's guidance and directing our lives. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be given to you as a matter of course. Life is short. And I pray that for myself and for all of you, that we will manage our God-given gifts of time and talent and treasure as faithful stewards, so that when our life on earth is completed, the Lord will say to us, well done, good and faithful servant.